at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
Hey, I'm Rich Orris here. You're tuned into the Home Improvement Show, KMOX live for you here every Saturday morning to talk to you about your home, from everyday home maintenance to major remodeling projects and everything in between. We can cover all of that. The phone lines are open right now. You can get in at 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900. Got a little rain going on today, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of wet topics that we can cover and questions of leaks and all that's everything we always cover when this type of weather is happening. So give me a call with your home improvement questions, no matter what it is. If it's a repair you're not sure how to handle, maybe it's a remodel you're planning, or just a little project that's kind of turned into a big one. I'm here to help you sort all that out. And we got a little fun going on today for the show in the 12 o'clock hour when we get into our simulcast on 97.1. Also, I'm going to have none other than Dave Glover right here from the Dave Glover Show. He's going to stop by and kind of talk about his new partnership with Mosby Building Arts and why he's decided to join forces with our team. And when it comes to home remodeling and design, you all know Dave. Everyone knows Dave. He brings some great stories, wonderful insights. So you don't want to miss this conversation. I'm sure it's going to be a great one right around 12 o'clock. So grab your coffee, jot down those project questions, and let's make the most of this rainy, wet Saturday morning. It's the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX, and we are just getting started. And if you heard the news, the weather right before we started, oh my gosh, the rain, possible tornado I heard kind of placed in there. And for us here, for St. Louis, St. Louis County, everyone around, we're done. We've seen our share of hail. We've seen our share of tornadoes. We've had enough. Let's hope that I feel like we've got it covered for at least 10 or 15 years. We don't need any more of this going on in our neighborhoods, to our homes. We've had plenty. I did see a client earlier this year that had, he was telling me kind of the whole story with his house, that they had a really bad hailstorm come through South County kind of earlier in the year. It damaged three vehicles and his roof, the roof on the house and the roof on the detached garage. And I don't think it was 6-8 weeks later, he has a tornado rip right through his front yard, take out a tree, totals all three cars and demolishes the detached garage. That should happen to no one, and especially that close together. And just we've seen it, we've had it. Hopefully we're gonna start getting past some of that. I know it can take a while, and it kind of inundates our city with work, with too much to do, and with labor shortages still, and trying to manage workers and people and everything we need to accomplish as a company, as all of the companies out there. There's some real horror stories going on. They're trying to take on too much work, trying to get through too much work. So yeah, it's been tough, and really, hopefully, like I said, I hope we're through it. I hope we get past it, and I hope we can just kind of move forward with our normal maintenance, with our normal remodels, the things we want to do and make our homes better. So again, I'm right here for you. Whatever you have going on around your house, phone lines are open, 314-436-7900, and you know, the last week or two, we've had some good calls, had some good conversations and questions. We talked last week to Jim called in, was asking about the best caulk to use outside of your home for vinyl windows, vinyl siding, vinyl up against brick. When you see the vinyl windows with the metal, the aluminum coil wrap around them. So a great clean surface and some urethane-based caulk is going to be the best thing to really last well on vinyl windows, vinyl siding, vinyl windows against the metal wrap. I see a lot. We've used silicone, the white 100%, very waterproof, great caulk silicone in these areas for a really long time. But I tell you, it doesn't expand and contract quite as well as the urethane will against those products. Those products can expand and contract a little bit more than that silicone's gonna work. And what I see often when I look at houses with these products and the silicone caulk on them, if you take your thumb, your finger, and you kind of go to just move that metal a little bit, it's very often that you will then see kind of the metal move away from the brick or move away from the window, and it has a little bit of give in it, but the caulk stays, and you suddenly realize that when that moves away, that caulk is not stuck. It moves so much that it let go. And so that's an area where you could be getting water in. So the urethane base are going to work a lot better for that. And we also had Greg Boss from English Sweep. He had called in and kind of helped us finish out a conversation about old brick mortar tuck pointing in St. Louis, older houses, what needs to happen, why. Remember, you can go back to and you can get on the Odyssey app, the website, and you can find these past episodes and listen to them. So if you hear something that maybe you missed, you can go back and find that through Odyssey there on the internet. So, but then that conversation sparked a question with Mildred, who called in talking about some tuck pointing and a flue liner. And we were kind of describing how many different areas these leaks come from, how the flue liner works inside the brick and how that can help with sweating and condensation and get rid of some of that. So there's so many different areas all around. And then we had Bill call in, and we had a really good conversation about his 40-year-old deck with treated wood. Talk about getting your money's worth out of your product, a 40-year-old deck. All the things we have now that we flash it different, that we put tape on top of the joist sometimes to try and make the joist last longer. We got all these systems, the dry below systems help move water in really a lot of ways to maintain and make these decks have a lot more lasting value. It's, you go through a lot more, and really the big difference is the difference in the treated lumber then versus now, from 40 years ago to 2025. There's a lot that's happened to treated lumber, which kind of makes it not have that 40 year lifespan like we used to get out of some of that. So, hey, we're going to get into our first break, but we can talk more on that in the next segment. We can also talk about your needs, your stories, your questions. What is happening at your home? Again, 314-436-7900. Get you right in here for me. Phone lines wide open. We'd love to hear from you. And don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
Got you covered. And boy, the rain, you know, rain, go away. Come again another day. There's probably a lot going on with that. Not getting to complete your outdoor projects today for sure. So, hey, whatever you need, I'm right here for you. Phone lines open, 314-436-7900. Are you wondering about how long your deck will last? Are you wondering about anything around your house that you're up against, need to fix? Maybe you got a big honey-do list. Well, I'm right here and can help you out today. Got plenty of time. And speaking of decks, we were kind of touching on the 40-year-old deck, which was up for some questions on rebuilding now. What are some different ways to do it, and how can you make it last that long again? And you can do a lot, but we get a lot of calls and questions and conversations while I'm running around during the week about, you know, how maybe you built a deck 15 years ago and it's already showing some signs of rot. And everybody's kind of saying the same thing. They're like, well, boy, my dad's deck we built in the 80s is kind of still hanging on there. And really the short answer to that is that the wood just isn't the same anymore. Back in the day, that pressure-treated lumber was made with some chemicals that just really worked a lot better. It was a chromated copper arsenate, and that stuff was tough. It soaked in very deep into the wood fibers, and you could really get a piece of wood to last outdoors 30, 40 years pretty easily. So the problem, of course, it had that arsenic in it, and not exactly what you want to leach into your soil, around your kids, around the swing sets. So now we kind of start to mature and figure this stuff out. And around the early 2000s is when the industry started to switch over to some newer, safer formulas. And really those treatments, they got rid of the arsenic that's in there, which is great. It's a good thing. But the trade-off is that these modern versions just, they don't soak in as deeply, and they're a lot more corrosive to metals. So for a while, we had a lot of issues on how we build the deck, and the screws that we use, the nails, the hangers, all that would start to rust and fail way faster than it used to. And I've seen deck joists that literally dropped out of the brackets after a few seasons because the fasteners weren't rated for that new kind of treated lumber material. And so for a while we were kind of coating them or putting material between them to minimize that corrosion from happening. But your modern treated wood usually comes a little wetter right from the yard. So when you install it right away, it starts drying, and so it can twist and really acclimate a lot. So that's where you see those deck boards where they cup, the handrails split. And really after the first real dry summer, you can start to see a lot of that in treated lumber, which of course then started really stopping the use of the treated lumber so much in the early and mid 2000s that don't use it as the deck floor, don't use it as the rails and everything. It becomes unsightly. It cracks a lot. So we started more and more cedar at that point on top and keeping the treated underneath. And then if you had the treated and you don't really let it dry properly before you stain or paint it, then you can just forget that because the finish will peel right off and all those, the moisture just tries to come out and it pushes that moisture and the paint right back out. So What can we do in today's treated lumber? Well, you really got better fasteners. The rusted hardware, if you use the wrong fasteners, so better fasteners for everything that look into all of that. The warping and the cupping can be a problem if you're using it in the sightly areas like we talked about. And of course, peeling the finishes if you stain or do anything too soon is a big problem with it. And then, of course, just overall a shorter lifespan than we used to get compared to that old treated lumber. Now, so that's not saying that the new stuff is bad, that we shouldn't use it. We still use it. It's understanding what you get from it and the expectations set out for how long it's going to last, how it's going to work, what do you get out of it. And it is much safer for people. It's safer for the environment. So you just have to work with it differently now. Use stainless steel or hot dip galvanized hardware. Pre-drill some of the ends if you can to avoid the splits. So when you're fastening near the edge, pre-drill, it's a good idea. Give it time to dry before you do any sealers, painting, anything over top of it. So the bottom line, you know, treated wood is safer, but it takes a little more care to get the same kind of long-term results as we got from our dad's deck that was built in the 80s. So that's just kind of what needs to happen in the decks today. Now, there are other alternatives that they all come with kind of different lasting values. Different is in how you build and what you could do with them, because now they do have the steel frames. Those steel frames, you got to be careful with them, because if they are painted, then if you scratch them where you cut them, anything you do, you could get rust. So you need to make sure that that's all good and it's not going to rust out on you. So there's a lot in how you install it. And there's some limitations with the steel on what it takes, what holds it up, and the shapes that you can get, and ordering it ready to go. And so it's hard to alter that on the fly. So again, if you're going to use a system like a steel deck substructure, know your deck, know your design, know what you're getting. So when that's ordered, you're not trying to change something on the fly, because it's not going to be as easy as it could be if you were using just the wood treated product to build that frame. And then if you decided you just wanted to kind of change something up, it's a lot easier to do. But they're all good, great products, and there's a lot of different ways to install them and get them to last a little bit longer. We've had a lot of conversations about the tape, the joist tape on top of that treated lumber. That can add some value, but it can get a little costly too. So figuring out the value for you and what you really want or need out of this deck and this product, and how much timeline you need, and learning, understanding, and finding all that out is a big part of what we do and what I do here on the show, and what I do on a daily basis running around trying to help out, looking at projects, looking at houses, and looking into remodeling and helping everybody. We have a lot of conversations about the different ways to do things and what's best for you. We've got three different ways to install windows. There's just so many different things. Being educated is extremely important for everybody out there, and understanding the educated consumer is really the best consumer, because then you know what you're getting, the expectations are set, and you can make that decision towards what do you want, how do you want it, how long do you want it to last, how do you think it's going to work, and what's going to be the best value and investment level for your project as you get into it. So we've got a lot of ground we can cover. We've got a lot going on. We've got plenty of time for everybody. Let's jump into our middle hour break here. But again, 314-436-7900. Get your answers to your questions about your house with your projects and what needs to happen for you specifically. Love to help you out. So stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. More home improvement when we return.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Home Improvement Show. More for you. More to do. Plenty going on. Again, live right here today. Get your answers. What's happening at your house? What type of honey-do list are you trying to get through? Let us know. Maybe we can help you through it. 314-436-7900. Jump you right in here with me. Phone lines are wide open. And speaking about questions, so this is in with me working for Mosby Building Arts, my day job, going around 5 days a week, I hear a lot of questions, a lot of topics, and I get a lot of these different questions often. So I like to kind of come here and go over them and kind of maybe try and get some answers out there so that maybe we can spread the message and get people to kind of learn and understand how things are changing and why, and the different ways to do things now, and how some of the old school kind of repairs that we used to do are just getting harder and harder, and you just don't have a lot of skilled people to do some of those repairs like we used to. And I tell you, one of the biggest ones I get quite often is replacing a door. Just looking at like a front door and going, okay, well, I have an issue with the door, and the door is having problems, and it's not fitting well, and it's not shutting right, and it's not locking good. But I think the frame, everything around it is perfectly good. How, you know, can you change just that door? And the answer is usually most times, as long as that's the fact and the frame is okay, the short answer is yes. The hard answer is finding someone to do that. Because one of the issues, it takes a lot of skill to do that, to try and take a door panel and mortise it to the hinges and mortise it to the locks and get the locks on and get this thing to work and shut well. It's just a lost art that's kind of going away as far as having skilled people that can do that and want to do that. And we definitely jump into projects that when you look at replacing the whole door, the whole frame, everything about it, well, then that can actually take less man hours, less overall time to install than trying to install a door in a frame. So a lot of years ago, when we would do apartment maintenance and we did a lot of painting, and you're in the city, and in the city and these older homes on interior doors especially, you have all of this woodwork and big casing and beautiful woodwork. So it was very common when I started in this industry that we would buy new interior doors and fit them, cut them out of square to an out of square opening and make them work inside of that existing frame casing, because then it was like that was all very expensive. And labor, I was making a lot less per dollar 35 years ago than our workers make today here at Mosby Building Arts performing the same thing. So it's gone up so much, we've had this flip that's now saying, we need more product, less labor. You get to the same amount of cost and you get a better overall finished product in the end with a new door, with new weather stripping, with everything, new frame, really working well, put together and assembled in a manufacture in a really great way. And then, bam, you got a much better product than trying to just replace that door inside of that frame. And that's why it's very, very hard to find somebody to try and do that for you. If you're looking for that, I wish you luck. And in who you can get to do that, because not many people will. But hey, we've got Don on the line. Let's jump to the phones and see what's going on with Don. How can we help? Oh, we lost him. We lost Don. We had him. And so, Don, give us a shout back. I'm sure it's probably cellular, weather, rain-related, coming back at us. It's, you got to love these new phones and these new systems. And they work great right up until they don't. And then you have the technical difficulties. So I think we got Don coming back here, back on the line. So we'll see if... see if we can get him on again. So, hey, Don, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, I certainly can.
Awesome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, my wife and I are building a new duplex, and it's on a concrete slab. And the builder has recommended that we might want to consider radiant heat, hot water heat in the floor to supplement our forced air gas furnace. We're in central Illinois. The winters can be pretty severe, and I was just wanting your opinion on that type of system. And he said also the hot water heat in the floor would also be our source for hot water in our home.
Okay. It is the if you're building this now, has there been any talk in any of that about any of that service or those systems being geothermal?
No, it is not okay. Possible that we can do a geothermal. It's going to be some type of a heat pump.
Okay.
That will force the water and glycol through the system in the floor. And he said that possibly we could use that as our heat source until it got fairly cold into the winter, and then we'd have to have the gas furnace as a supplement.
Yeah, and the heat pump is another good way, for sure, to save money early on in using that system. So, I mean, that is a good system. I would say if you can do it, that's probably a great way to go. It's a very comfortable heat, too.
That's what he said, yes.
Yes, it's absolutely. I mean, the heat radiant through the floor like that is an extremely comfortable heat, and it will, like he said, he's dead on where it will be effective to a certain temperature below freezing or whatever, but you start getting below freezing, you start hitting 20 degrees, something like that, you'll definitely have to start kicking on that furnace. Once you get down there, 10, 15, 20 degrees, 25 degrees, you'll start to notice
okay.
when you need it.
But
it is a good
source,
way to do it. What's that?
Is that a good source for hot water, for a hot water source, rather than having a hot water heater?
So that I would kind of – I'm not real familiar with using that with the hot water because – My question would be is what's it do in the how do you do it in the summer? So
yeah.
I'm not super educated on using that system as your hot water year round. If he's talking more of like an instant type system or something like that that works off of it, then that would definitely be a good thing. I'm just not real super educated on that, but I would have to imagine that it's got to be something that works. Or
well, he said it was like an on-demand
hot
water source.
Yeah. So if it's and it almost has to be in order to have that work in the summer, because you wouldn't want to heat your whole floor to try and get actual hot water. So. Yeah, an on-demand source is definitely a great source for getting your hot water, because you will not run out of hot water, because it's just basically producing the hot water when you need it.
Yep.
If you travel a lot, when you're not using it, it's just not running. So that's where your savings comes from.
Okay.
If you have a big family and a lot of kids and you use a ton of hot water, I think there's probably certain families out there that could end up losing money from a traditional tanked water heater, because if you're taking, you know, the tanked, you can run out of water, and then that yes. would get a teenager out of the shower. If you have an endless supply of hot water,
okay,
it's going to run in as long as you want it to. So it can actually have a worse effect on like a large family. So just
our family has moved out except during deer hunting season. And then they all move back in. So
yep. So you'll have a higher bill in November
for sure.
Yeah,
you've reinforced what our builder has told me. That's very comforting. I appreciate and I enjoy listening to you every Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the kind words and everything. That's great. Yeah, thanks for the call. And yeah, I totally agree with pretty much everything he's saying. That is definitely a good way to do it, especially out there in the flatlands with the cold wind and
yep.
It's going to get awfully cold out there. So appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call. And we're going to get, yep, you're welcome. We're going to get into our last break of this hour. I want to remind everybody though, coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to have special guest Dave Glover, probably the most special guest I would have ever had, coming in to do a segment with me and kind of talk about our new partnership together with Mosby Building Arts and Dave Glover helping us out and what we've got going on there. So you're not going to want to miss that in the next hour. And in the next segment, if you have anything for me like Don just did, feel free to jump in, 314-436-7900. Love to help everybody out. We'll have plenty more and a whole nother hour after this next segment, so jump in with us. Don't go nowhere.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Mosby Building Arts. Once again, Rich Orris.
Quick, you're going to want to stick with us. You're going to want to come in on this second hour when we have Dave Glover on the show talking about Mosby Building Arts and our partnership. It's going to be a great time. Very special for me, absolutely for sure. And hey, what do you got going on between, around, and after that? You can still call with your questions and find out anything about your home, your projects, what you need, 314-436-7900. And speaking of that, we've got Dave on the line. So let's find out what's going on with Dave. Hey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling. Good. How can we help you?
Yeah. Well, when I purchase treated lumber, I always like to put additional sealer or semi-transparent stain on it to give it a little more, you know, resistant to the weather.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
What's a good time frame to wait? Like when you buy it from the hardware store, is there a time frame, a rule of thumb or something?
Well, and that,
people say, you know, wait a year and then stain it, but that's...
Yeah, you want to wait at least. The hard part is you want to wait at least a couple seasons. So, like, if you built something in the fall, like late spring, early summer is probably a good time to go ahead and do that. The actual answer is moisture content. So, if you were to like look on the stain, if you read what would be the ideal moisture content of a board when you're applying the stain that you buy, kind of read in their instructions and stuff, and you used a moisture meter and found out how much moisture was in there, that's going to be the actual scientific now's the time answer.
Okay.
So that can change that timeline. If, rainy spring, there's going to be a lot more moisture in it and you want to let that dry out. So hitting that right time can be difficult. And I would recommend trying the moisture meter and seeing, because I think you can get them fairly inexpensive these days too.
Okay, so you're saying a couple seasons. You mean like spring, summer, fall?
Yep.
Or are you saying a couple years?
A couple seasons. So winter, spring. So if you built it, if you were done with it today, and you went through all of winter and all of spring, sometime in the summer would probably be a good time.
Okay. Well, now, if you bought a piece of cedar that is dry and you hit it with stain pretty good, you know, on the ends and everything, how would you think that would stand up compared to treated lumber? I mean, would treated tend to last longer on an outdoor application, or?
I mean, so treated would probably tend to last longer. And the hard thing with doing that with cedar is, and we've tried this in the past too, you really need to seal all six sides of the board. And then you penetrate it with nails and screws. So you still give a little area where moisture can get in. So there's some wood sealers out there that were so good. If you didn't treat all six sides of the board, it would literally hold the moisture from underneath in, and it would still end up rotting pretty quickly, okay, or from the ends, or even just from the screws or the nails.
Yeah.
So that's the other hard part, is you need it to kind of dry out and you need it to kind of breathe. And that's where you get kind of stuck. You seal it too well, it can still rot.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Yep. Hey, no problem, Dave. Appreciate the call. Let's jump over to Michael, see if we can get him in before the end of this break here. Michael, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? Good this morning. Thanks for your service.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, appreciate the call. What's going on?
I have a wood-burning fireplace with a brick chimney. I need to have it cleaned. I need some tuck pointing done, and some flashing work probably.
Uh-huh.
And I guess what I'm running into is I don't know who the hell to call or trust, when I'm dealing with this, cause I'm getting all kinds of different numbers. And, I'm kind of at an impasse trying to figure out who to hire. I don't mind spending money, but I want to spend money with somebody who's going to take care of me, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Have any of the people that's been out, have they done any video recording and shown you kind of inside that box and what they think's going on and really trying to educate you on it?
Not inside the box. There is no sleeve. It's a rather short chimney on the outside of the home.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, when I've been there 6-7 years, the home's 60-ish years old. Anyway, I was getting backflow into the house, so
oh, yeah.
I installed a fan on top.
Okay,
specifically. It does a great job, and I have a control inside as to how high or low. And, of course, if I have it on high, I'll eat a quart of wood in an evening, you know.
Yeah, that'll definitely eat up the wood, but you got to have it drafting. It sounds like, yeah, that chimney could have been a little bit short if it's that short. But so where I would direct you to go is to English Sweep and talk to them about just full, you know, paying for a full examination of that entire chimney inside and out. They do all that work. I'm not sure about the actual flashing, but I know they do the tuck pointing, the inside. They do the caps, the top. They'll understand the fan, and they can camera scope down in through the inside of that and show you exactly what's going on and educate you on it, because then you can understand what's happening and pick through what everybody's saying and see who to trust. But, hey, I'm totally out of time, Michael. I'm pushing a hard break here. So I'd say get with English Sweep. I hope that helps. And for everybody else, we're going to be back in the next hour with Dave Glover.